Okay, folks, here we go. 6:01, and I will call to order the November 9th, 2021 virtual meeting, Town of Heath Select Board. First item, roll call, myself. Oh, also, this meeting is being recorded. I always forget to say that, but it is being recorded. So myself, Robin Provost Carlson, I am here. We have Sue Lively.
Here.
Brian DeVries.
Here.
Helma Sumner.
I'm here.
Pat McGann.
Here and recording.
Barbara Gordon.
Here for the Board of Health.
I'm Jan Carr, and I'm not sure, Jan or Cal?
We're both here.
Thank you. Ned Wolf?
Here, not recording.
And where did I miss? Pam, are you here?
No, that's Gloria.
Pam, I don't have a number. Oh, just wait a minute, I'm shifting. Hey, Gloria.
Hey, hi.
How are you?
So far, so good. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Okay, our next item is review of the agenda. I'll go to you guys first. Sue, anything?
No, not with what was added today.
Brian?
No, this.
Okay. Helma?
No, I'm all set. Well, strike the November 2nd minute, review of minutes.
And just for, we can select board members, let's have just a brief discussion so folks that are here with us know as far as what we think about executive sessions. It's my feeling that we'll go into a brief executive session in regards to the long-term lease for 18 Jacobs Road and at the end of the meeting. And I wasn't certain that we need to go into executive session for litigation purposes, other than the fact that we need to set meetings for future executive meetings. And I think we just do that in open session. Do you see anything different with that, Sue?
I don't think so, unless something new happened today that we need to be aware of.
Noma? Nothing new.
No.
Brian?
No, nothing new.
Nothing.
Okay. All right. So for those that are here, the decision is we will go into the select board will vote to go into executive session at the end of the meeting after we've gone over all of our other business, and then we will not reopen in public session, open session after that executive, just so everybody knows. Okay, so the next item is review of minutes. So we're looking at one set of minutes.
I'm not the 11, 2 minutes.
Yeah, those we don't have.
Oh, okay.
Table. Yeah, table those. We only have the 10:26. So we'll start with the review of the virtual meeting, Select Board, Town of Heath, October 26, 2021. Sue?
Couldn't find too much, I'm sorry. under generator, the first sentence needs a period after Maine, located in Maine.
Okay.
I was really looking hard. Under firehouse, the second line, it should be, he said that it appears, not there appears.
Correct.
under the green communities update, if I remember correctly, part of our discussion was, the question was raised on where we head now with the solar information we've received, and that the MVP was considered to be a possible resource of funding for municipal projects.
Yes, that's correct.
So I think that should be added in. And then under future meeting, we did schedule a meeting for the 16th. As far as I know, that's still on it, but I don't know if it happened at this meeting or not.
I don't think it happened at this meeting. It happened after that.
All right. So that's all I had.
Brian, anything else?
No, that's good.
So the only other thing, Helma, was just another period, I think, unless I just don't see it, in firehouse after the first sentence.
Yep.
And if there's nothing further, I would look for a motion to accept the Town of Heath Select Board virtual meeting minutes from October 26, 2021 as amended.
So moved.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Sue, aye.
Brian, aye.
Robin Provost-Carlson, aye. Thank you. We don't have public comment on here, but I'm happy to add that. If there's anybody here who would like to make a statement, a comment, most people are on phone. You'd have to give me a shout out or at least have your videos off. All right. Okay. Thanks. So next is Axon Properties Crucial, the host community agreement. I don't believe that we have that back yet. So this is going to be a short discussion. Helma, is there anything you want to give us an update on?
Well, I can let you know that the email exchanges that were going on this morning, primarily between the two attorneys, but I'm copied in on everything, is that they're basically, I think Mark is doing the final review. One of the things that Mark proposed to Axon and they accepted and thought it was a good idea is that since there's like multiple farmers and that they've also asked for the, you know, the possibility of adding more farmers in the future, that like the HCA, there would be one that would be between the town and each individual farmer. Mark then proposed there also be a second document that is called a development agreement, which basically would, the way I understand it, would be a document laying out the whole potential growth and, you know, that this will be like, the land will be leased to multiple farmers. So Mark is working on that as well. As of this morning, they are hoping that they will have a final draft to me by the end of the week, so that you folks will be able to review it and be able to deal with it next Tuesday.
Okay. Brian, any questions for Helma or any
comments?
Okay, Sue?
Nope.
All right. Very good. Thanks, Helma.
Welcome.
We'll put that back on the agenda for next week. COVID-19 municipal protocol concerns. The only update I have is that I have reached out and should be getting, hopefully for next Tuesday, at least one number for petitions for the financial room, or at least one suggested layout for petitions for the breaking the financial room into four quadrants. I may have two by that point in time, but we will definitely have one. And I'm hoping that it's actually used panels, so it's going to be cost effective. So that's one I will be providing. That's my update. Helma, do you have items?
No, don't think so.
So kind of just a brief update on, for me on that one. Brian, anything?
I have nothing.
Sue?
No.
Okay. Any COVID-19, just COVID in general issues, Helma?
No, I don't think so. You know, everybody that I've observed, whether they're employees or the general public, seem to still be very careful.
Okay. We did send out the reminder to town employees about the masks. That got done a couple weeks ago now. I know we're going to have in the mail, we have a couple items. We have a request to reopen the bathroom in Sawyer Hall, so we can discuss that at that point. Other than that, I don't think we have anything else.
The library was another concern, right?
Yes, library. We'll do both those, the library and the bathroom. Yep. Okay. All right. So other business. Wow. I don't know what to do. We're moving right along here. Other business. Burrington Road Culvert Work Agreement. That is your mail part two. And I believe Helma is going to give us a little intro and chat about that.
I am, huh?
Yes, that's why. Now,
okay, this is, Jeff had asked this engineering firm, VHB, for short, if they would do the work. It was not anything that had to go out to bid or anything like that. This is the company that's doing the small bridge project up north on 8A. The grant that we received would cover most of the cost. The grant was for $100,000. So there'd be a little over $18,000, which Jeff said can be paid for out of Chapter 90. And this would complete all the way I understand it, all the preliminary like design work, permit applications, that type of thing. It also has in here survey. There would need to be a survey done of the immediate area because there isn't one on record. So anyway, what you have before you is the proposed agreement. that would be between the engineering company and the town of Heath for this first year of work. And the hope is that we'll be able to successfully obtain like a grant next year that would be the second half and would be the actual construction part.
Well, that was going to be my first question. Once we get this, how do we pay for the rest?
Through next year, hopefully through next year's grant. Okay. The thing is, this particular funding source, the max you can get, I believe, per year is $100,000. And they also have very tight time constraints as to when the work has to be accomplished. So, and the work, you know, even if we were able to apply for more money, it wouldn't be possible to complete all the work within the time constraints. So,
Ryan?
I don't really have anything to say about it. I think we need to approve it. I wonder what the if they gave, I suppose they didn't give any estimate of the construction part.
No, they did not. I think that would come probably out of their design work and everything.
Yeah, I know, but you know, we did a couple others on Avery Brook Road.
Yeah.
I don't remember what they cost more. I'm sure they're much more now because that was quite a few years ago.
Yes, it was.
But the size of the engineering fee makes me think that this is going to be an expensive project.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. It just avoid having the work done and a bigger culvert put in place, you know, eliminates much of the risk of having that area dammed up and the road flooded again.
But in fairness, they have included the survey, geotechnical exploration, and hydrologic and hydraulic analysis, and those would be on the owner, like in the private sector, the owner would pay for those kind of things up front. So they've included everything that's needed in terms of preparation for construction project. So I don't have any problems with this.
Sue?
There is one question.
Oh, go ahead,
if we approve this, we have to show where the money's coming. I mean, we have to identify the funding so that we know we have the 100,000, but what about mm-hmm. the others? Do mm-hmm. we just say we're going to take it out of Chapter 90, or we can't approve this without knowing where the money comes?
No, Jeff and I have already had that conversation, and he's had conversation with one of the engineers on this project. Because they raised that question. They wanted to make sure that the amount above and beyond the grant was indeed going to be paid for. And so, I mean, Jeff said yes, and that there would be enough money in Chapter 90 funds to cover the balance.
Sue?
I assume this is a process that we have to go through in order to get the bridge, to get this area repaired, no matter what. Whether we're going to do it in 1 year or 5 years or whatever. So mm-hmm. since it appears that we have the funding to cover it, it makes sense to go ahead with it.
Okay. So is this something, Hilma, that he wanted us to vote on tonight?
Yes, please.
So can I ask for a motion? Hold on. Let me think how I want to say this. To accept the proposal for agreement for professional services between... Yeah, whatever I'm here. What is it? How do they pronounce that?
VHB.
Well, VHB is good enough.
Yeah, VHB.
And the town of Heath for the culvert replacement, Burrington Road over Avery Brook tributary, with 100,000 being covered by the grant and the remaining, whatever it is, 18 and change, 18080 to be covered by Chapter 90 money, assuming that it can. So we're agreeing that it is coming from Chapter 90.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's the motion I'm seeking.
So moved.
Second.
Is there further discussion? Hearing none, we'll go ahead. Sorry.
I was reading something. Did you mention the funding source for it in the motion?
Yeah.
Okay.
The grant covering the 100,000 and Chapter 90 covering the remaining.
Did I second it?
Yeah, is there any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Sue, aye.
Ryan, aye.
Robin, aye. All right, thank you. We'll just continue on. The next in other business is the Route 8A Branch Brook Bridge issue. Thelma has an update on that, I think.
Well, Jeff was going to have a construction firm out of Greenfield come and do the measurements, put in like a replacement plate that would be flush with the surface, put a light coat of like cold patch or something on top of it just to hold it in place. Mm-hmm. The company came up on last Monday to take their measurements. While they were here, they did a little exploring. One of the men took his cell phone because the plate's covering a hole in the bridge, essentially. So the one man took his cell phone and stuck his hand with his cell phone down into the hole and kind of went around in a circle to take a video of what the underside looked like, and went back to the office. And I don't know who made the decision, probably the boss of the company, basically said, we cannot do the repair. There is nothing substantial enough to weld the metal plate to. The repair work can't be done. I've taken some pictures. I have the video. I've gotten some information from Jeff. I am in the process of basically writing a letter of desperation, I guess, on behalf of the town, that to the highway district office and to Senator Hines and Representative Mark, and saying that, you know, something's got to be done before this falls in the brook. The cement is crumbling, the metal is disintegrating. I know Jeff reached out to the district and asked if an engineer could come up here to determine the weight load on the bridge and get it posted, and was told that it would take, like, they don't have separate engineers in each district, that there's a state bridge engineer, and that person would have to do it, determine the weight load. So anyway, that's kind of where things stand right now.
Was Jeff given any idea of when that engineer might be available?
Not from the email that Jeff sent me. He forwarded the reply to me, and there was no time frame given.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm wondering if it was something that Paul Mark or would be able to have any influence on.
I'm hoping to have the letter written and send it off tomorrow.
Brian?
What I was going to say is I think there is a report on that bridge that was done not too long ago. So we should probably pull that out and have a look before we start freaking out. Because it may not, you know, when somebody looks at something, if they're not engineers and they don't have any familiarity with how you determine whether or not something like that is safe, then they would just tend to freak out. You know, I think the engineering report may tell us a little bit. Well, it wasn't exactly engineering, it was inspection.
It was a bridge inspection. And it was a year and a half ago, I believe, when it was done.
Okay, so anyway, we should review that as we're appealing. I agree that it should be inspected again, and some kind of determination should be made on the load-bearing capacity. But it might help us to review the report that was.
Right, and I would think that, I mean, the report, it's been inspected a handful of times. We're on the list for, it was, I don't know what number bridge in Heath to be replaced. And I would think that if we have the latest report, we should respond back to that. I mean, we received that report. We should, in essence, respond back to it and say, this is the concern that's been brought to our attention. What do we do? I mean, we can't, you gave us the report. We're trying to do our part of maintaining it. And this is what we've been told. From what I understood, Jeff tried to get a handful of different quotes on putting that plate, and it didn't sound like really anybody's interested in putting a plate. So given that, I you know, one with a low bidder came up, but there, I don't think the others are were really interested. I think they were pricing it because they felt they needed to. But so I think that that report's important that we follow up on that, because there's some, at least there's a chain of responsibility with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, if we're showing that we're behaving responsibly.
Right.
That's a starting place.
Yeah. Yeah. So go ahead, Sue.
I was just gonna say, who has the authority to limit the weight or the type of usage a bridge gets? Does that have to be done by the state and by an engineer, or can we put some limits on there on certain heavy truckloads so that we're not further compromising the bridge while we explore?
Well, that's a good question. I assume there's some kind of emergency response to a situation like this where you could say, you know, 10 tons or something like that, just to be safe.
Right.
Without having a full engineering analysis, but I don't know for sure. And I think, well, we'll find that out.
Yeah. I'll talk again to Jeff. And Hilma, can you see if you can find that last inspection?
Yes.
Thank you. So I'll keep, well, work with Jeff and Hilma on that. Do a little more follow-up. Okay, great. Thank you. Next is Mohawk Trail Regional School capital bonding plan. Hold on here. We have that. It's in your part one mail. And in part one mail, there's two emails, or at least two. Hold on. We have just the letter, the information about the meeting that was held. That's from Martha Thurber. And then the notes from the meeting that was held last week that Ned and Tom went to from Finance Committee. And then we have the recommendation or request for us to review for the 7-year option that was presented. There were 4 or 5 different options that were presented, and the 7-year is what's being recommended by Finance Committee, and they're looking for us to take a look at that. Did you have a chance to look at it, either of you?
No.
Sue, thoughts? Sue?
Well, they offered options for 5-year, 7-year, 15, 10, and 15. And I guess from their notes, they're recommending the 7, which makes sense to me. When you get up into the 10 or 15, you're paying a lot more because of the interest load that you carry over time. And we don't have to start paying anything except interest, I think, until fiscal year 24. That's almost as strange as saying it's November, but fiscal year 24. So I don't know. When I figured it out, it looked to me like that was a reasonable way to approach it. It would be about, it leaves us with a payment of about 9 to 10,000 a year from their estimate.
Okay. Brian?
Just looking at it right now. They're just, I mean, they're not asking us to vote on it or anything.
Well, they're asking us to send a letter of what our thought would be to Martha, Finance Committee.
The letter says that the school committee makes the final determination.
The final, right.
But they're just looking for input from.
So they're kind of looking, yeah, they want us to respond to Martha with our input if we are in favor or agree or think that the 7-year that they're recommending is makes sense to us.
I figured it out that if we did the 5-year, it was going to be $62,000 total that we'd pay out for like a $59,000 loan. And if we did it for 7 years, it's $63,500. And if we did it for 10 years, it's $65,500. And if we did it for 15 years, then we're paying over $69,000. So,
and it sounded like some of the other towns were jumping on with the 7-year too.
Mm-hmm.
Those that have responded, some didn't even go to the meeting.
Yep.
But they were fine with whatever was decided by the majority. I think it was Buckland and Shelburne.
They were there.
Buckland and Shelburne that agreed to the 7 also by the end of the meeting, I think.
And Ashfield was there too.
I don't really have any strong opinion on this. And we probably will have a little bit more money, but we don't know what's going to happen down the road. But in the next few years, we probably will have a little extra money because of all the federal coming to town. So if everybody's good with 7 years, I'm good with that.
Okay. So you want to send that note, Hilma?
Yes, I will do that.
Okay. Thank you. Jacobs Road Generator. You have mail in part 4 on the generator, propane tanks, And also sent out in an email earlier today, I think, another piece. So you want to, I don't know, Helma, do you want to lead us through that a little?
Sure. So the end of last week, someone from Osterman Propane came out to look at the site and discuss things with us. And the woman that came, Jamie, first sent through what was in mail packet 4 in terms of a proposal, where basically the town would not have to, pay a lump sum for the underground propane tanks and like setting the line and connecting it to the generator and everything. But it basically would be paid for through the, what's the highlighted line where it says rate per gallon would be the cost of the propane plus 80 cents. So in other words, the town would be paying 80 cents more per gallon of propane for the 7-year agreement. And it would also mean like a 7-year commitment to purchase propane from Osterman. And then in emailing back and forth and asking her a few questions, just to make sure I understood, I asked her like, what would it cost if the town just went with like the outright purchase and installation fee. And that's what came in this afternoon with a total of $15,700. Now that would mean basically that, I mean, the town would be purchasing the propane tanks as opposed to the first scenario where Osterman would still own the tanks. So if in the future the town decided to go with a different gas company, there might be, I don't know what, it would be a balancing act in terms of what would happen with the tanks. Would Osterman take their tanks back? Would there be a charge at that point to keep the tanks? We don't know at this point. I also, and one of the reasons why I asked her for what it would cost outright is because I thought if we have to pay an additional 80 cents per gallon for the next 7 years, that actually adds up to a lot more money than the $15,700. I believe what is being purchased by the town, like under the FERCOG bidding, I think I put in for 8,000 gallons for Jacobs Road. So 8,000 gallons times 80 cents per gallon is, if I did the math correctly, and Sue's working on it right now, I believe it's $6,400. Is that correct? Yeah, that's correct. So 6,400 times 7 is whatever it is, over 42,000, right?
Well, the thing is, though, this is, the generator is not going to be running that often. It'll run, for 20 minutes on Friday or something like that. The only other use of propane in the building is the stove in the kitchen. So I think, just on paper, the 80 cents a gallon is going to be the best deal. I'm just not sure about the 7-year contract because I think state law says 3 years. I know we just talked about a 7-year for Mohawk, but they probably have some kind of special legislation that allows them to do that. Whereas, that was financing over a period of years. So this is
contract for service. Yeah.
Yeah. I would want to know that we could actually enter into a contract like that, but it just seems on the surface that, the having them own the tank and paying 80 cents a gallon is going to be a better deal. Cause I just calculated if we get the tanks in and fill them up, that's 2000 gallons, that's $1,600. Mm-hmm. And then I can't imagine we're going to use, more than.
Yeah.
That 80 cents is on top of what the regular gallon charge is, right?
Yeah. Correct.
You know, there is a possibility in the future that it would change from oil to propane, you know, because it's more ecologically friendly, or it would change the heating unit or something. So there may be some possibility that propane would, you know, we would use more propane, but I don't see within the next few years the possibility of that.
Do we have any funds to pay the $15,000 if we wanted to purchase it? Are any, like, our ARPA funds or are any of those things usable for this? I mean, part of it might be we just don't have $15,000 available.
Right. I think we have to, and we have to work with Osterman. Is that's because of the FERCOG?
Because they own the tank that's in the ground. So, I mean, not just because of that, but it would be, what do I want to say? I don't know as we would save anything to go with a different company, number one, because Osterman has been the low bidder at least for 25 years, 27 years.
So they already own the tank that's there?
Yes.
We don't own that. They own it.
They own it. And them owning it also means, one of the conveniences is when it's replaced, them owning it, they have to take it away. The town doesn't have to worry about disposing of it.
So this is two additional tanks on top of that one?
No, what's in the ground right now is a 500-gallon tank. If there is like an extended loss of power, so the generator would have to get used, 500-gallon tank would last because of, the back pressure of the burned fumes, it would only carry the generator for about 17 or 18 minutes. To have the generator operate efficiently and for a long period of time, there needs to be the two 1,000-gallon tanks.
Right. So then does the other one go away or does it stay?
No, the other one goes away.
That's what I... Okay. Mm-hmm. Does this have to be signed tonight? We don't have any... We could...
Well, we're under a time crunch. Essentially,
I just calculated that we need to buy 19,625 gallons in order to cover 15,000. So that's an awful lot of propane. I don't think we're going to lose.
So if I understand it right, we will have 2,000 gallons available.
Yeah.
But that's because we have to be prepared for an emergency. If we're not having emergencies, we're only going to be using a very small portion of the gas that's available, right?
That's right. That's right.
But we don't know that we can even sign this because we don't know about the 7-year right now.
That's right, too. Yeah.
I want to say you can, only because Osterman works with many other municipalities.
We could approve it with the provision that is a because they know we're a municipality.
Well, I'd want to know that we can.
Also, this is one of those things we can come in and sign during the week too. If we agree in principle to this, we could sign it when we have that answer.
Yeah. Yep. Well, so if someone wants to make a motion to accept the Osterman propane proposal for the 7 years after, with the understanding that we are allowed to do so, I guess we could look for that motion.
I'll make the motion. I just want to make sure we've got it worded the way.
Yeah, no, do it as you wish.
No, I'm just, so what we're agreeing, what we're saying is that we want to agree to them maintaining ownership of the tanks, and that we will pay that extra 80 cents per gallon, and that we will agree to a 7-year contract if that is proven to be legal for a municipality to do that. That's what we're saying.
Yes.
Okay. So I will move that.
I'll second that.
Further discussion.
Yes, we have to keep in mind that we have to buy 2,000 gallons of propane immediately. So that's a cost that has to figure into this. So I don't know what we're paying per gallon.
What happens to the 500, was it whatever is in the tank that we currently have?
It gets swapped over and put in the new tank. And the tank is, Jeff and I checked it this afternoon, the 500-gallon tank is almost full.
Okay, so we need roughly 1,500 gallons.
What is the issue if we just wait a week to agree to this? We're meeting again in a week.
The issue is I don't get to schedule them. And we're under a time crunch in terms of spending the rest of the police safety grant by November 30th. That's the time crunch. And the scheduling of everything, like the gas company, the highway department, the electrician, somebody from Kohler Generators, they have a piece in it. I don't know if it's electric. I think it's the electrical inspector has to inspect the electrical work. I don't know if the plumbing inspector has to come.
He does. So,
okay. All of those folks have to be coordinated and up there within the next 2.5 weeks, which includes Veterans Day, which is Thursday, and Thanksgiving holiday.
Would the cost of the propane be chargeable to the grant, to the police grant, or is that already
accounted? No.
So we have to decide that money.
Well, it would have to come out of the, whatever it's called, the Jacobs Road Maintenance and Utilities account.
Right.
Okay. And it would probably be $1,500. It would probably be about $4,500, roughly. I think the last cost per gallon was somewhere between $2.50 and $3 a gallon.
Okay.
Robin, is your concern mostly about the 7-year contract piece of it, or are you concerned about some other details here?
The 7-year, that cost of the propane, just making sure that we've got the numbers and I haven't had the chance to go through every line of this. But I'm one of three of us. So if you guys are comfortable with that, I trust in that and I'll be okay with that. I just,
Well, you could add another contingency into the motion that's also, you know, contingent upon Robin finding no suspicious phrases or whatever in the contract.
I guess one of the questions I have is just going back, Brian, maybe to something you said. We're talking about propane as a limited amount, as only needed for the use by these generators and the cook stove.
Right.
But if there was a change that, you know, if there was a change, say in the heating system or any, I mean, do we think that could happen in the next 7 years?
I don't see it going to propane, but no, you just don't know. I would think we'd be going electric.
Right.
Or at least partial, you know, portions of the building to electric.
I mean, I think it becomes a deciding factor in future decisions that are made. But I do agree that the chance of using propane for something that drives that building, and I haven't looked. So say, devil's advocate, we sell the building in less than that 7 years. What happens with that? I haven't looked through that agreement completely. That was what I was trying to kind of surf through. What is the breaking of that contract look like?
Well, it says we pay for the removal of the equipment. We don't renew the, you know, after 7 years.
After 7 years.
So they kind of lock you in. But, you know, that removal is not, it's not that, you know, overwhelming of an expense.
No.
Yeah, my only real concern was that whether 7 years was, and I bet if you said you were going to run the building on propane, you'd be sitting down having another contract negotiation, you know, the old agreement only applied to that particular installation, and, you know, just changing the entire heating system. But I can't see going to propane as a future solution heating problems.
I guess there is a line in there, rights upon termination. So number 12 is the answer to that on that, looks like. All right.
Yeah, there is another thing. I don't know. Is liquidated damages permitted in the contract? Because it says in that same.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another question. It's a standard in private industry contracts, but municipal contracts, I think you would have thought, but this could just be a contract they use with everybody.
Right. But I mean, obviously, I think it should be reviewed to know that we can actually sign that.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Who would review it?
Well, Mark would, or someone in his office. But I think I feel like we could approve it pending the legal review and then just put it out there for signing. But
I'm fine with that. I just think that it's for me, I'm not clear on that type of a contract for us to sign. I guess that's what my hesitancy is. It makes good sense to me, right, for my construction business. And I see why people do that. And people do all types of levels like this. I just want to make sure that it's something we can do. So I think I'm fine with that, as long as the whole contract's going to be reviewed.
Right. Do we want to change the motion to pending legal review?
Yeah. Are you good with that, Sue?
I am.
Okay. So I don't remember who made the motion. Was it you, Sue? I don't know.
You actually did.
Did I make the motion? Pending.
No. You did, and then I clarified it. Now we change.
Sorry. All right. So pending legal review is added. That's my add to the motion to accept.
Okay. So I moved it. That.
Thank you. Did you second it, Brian?
Second it.
Okay. Further discussion. All right. All in favor.
Sue, I.
Brian, I.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me go through that process.
No, I think it's caution and stuff like this is over 7 years. I mean, that's enough to be like thing.
Well, and I just don't, like I said, I'm not used to that type of that contract. I'm still learning. I'll learn forever. Okay, thank you all. Next item, Board of Health member appointment. So one of the two that we appointed declined, I think, Helma. And so we need to appoint, please help me on this.
Lorraine Berger, who was one of the three who had written letters of interest, and the Board of Health is aware of her interest and would like to see her appointed.
Okay. So are Sue, Brian, are you good with that? Do you have any conversation you want to have, or someone want to give a motion to approve Lorraine to the board, to the remaining seat, the open seat on the Board of Health? I think it's a 2-year.
That's correct.
I guess I really was hoping some parents would step forward. Some parents with young kids. I'll move that we appoint her.
Okay, I'll second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Sue, I.
Brian, I.
Robin, I. And Hilma, you'll send that appointment letter or have
yes.
You know, Mary.
I send
Will you letter. Send it and let Mary know? Yeah. Sue?
No, I was going to say, last week we talked about the charge that was given to different committees. Mm-hmm. This is for Parks and Rec, right?
Mm-hmm. We did a Board of Health, but
that was
on
Board
my
Health.
List
okay.
of things to discuss for on Board an Health. Agenda okay. is Parks and Rec.
All right. So I'm still thinking about the Parks and Rec because we need to move forward on a job description. Mm-hmm. I did a little bit of research over in the files. And I think the paperwork we came up with, the last one we could find was the original one, which was like in 1985, I think. And the task of the Parks and Rec was basically the beautification of the common. And we couldn't find anything after that.
So I was going to bring up when we talk about our schedule that's upcoming that we need to put that on as one of our items. Because I think that was the first one we wanted to start with. I know we have a bunch of them we have to do, but we know we have openings on Parks and Rec. And we were hoping to get that done in the handful of weeks in the winter that we could.
Yeah, it would be nice to ask them to if they could put their thoughts together.
Yeah. Agree.
And I just want to say that I was confused on what we were voting on before, but I'm fine with Lorraine being on the Board of Health.
Okay. Thank you.
I was thinking about the Parks and Rec. I had that in my head. And so that's where that parent comment came from.
All right. That's okay, Sue.
All right.
Thanks for clarity.
Yeah. I don't know. This is like our umpteenth meeting in the last few days. one too many.
I know.
I have two Conservation Commission meetings to go yet. This week.
I'm telling you, it's been long. Firehouse. I don't have an update on Firehouse. I will get back on it though, but there's been too many items. And the update, what I know I need to do is work with Helma to write the letter that we're going to be sending out to our reps. And we don't have letters from anybody else yet though either, Helma. So we need to remind the chiefs, the association, Tim.
Yep.
Everybody needs to get a letter. And we probably just have to have a, you know, yeah, 2 weeks date. Give them a drop dead date before the holiday.
Don't remind them, nag them.
Yeah, that's good.
I've sent them one reminder already. I will send another one.
Say they're getting mad. Brian, anything on the firehouse?
Well, last week I did a drawing of the firehouse and sent it to Ryan Helwig, the structural engineer, just so he would have something to use for a base for his notes.
Okay.
I spoke with him yesterday, and he said we're on the list for a visit, but he hasn't gotten to us.
Okay, perfect. Okay. Sue, anything on firehouse?
Nope.
Okay. And then Green Communities, Brian, anything for tonight?
Well, we have to get our quarterly report done. I scheduled a meeting for next. I thought I would get that in this week too, but it's Veterans Day, so I can't do that. So I scheduled it for Thursday. And but I contacted Alyssa about helping us with quarterly report.
Okay.
So she all just right. sent me. I didn't have a chance to really go through it yet.
Okay. All right. Anything else for other business? I think the rest we're going to probably pick up in our mail and the town coordinator report. Let's do mail and then we'll do the report. Shake it up tonight. Shake it up. We've done a lot of the mail anyway. So part one, we have the first item is from Board of Health. It's a letter that is being, we were asked to review. Do you guys have a chance to take a look at that? That's the letter for the state arbovirus program. And that is a letter that the Board of Health has written, and they are asking if we would like to sign on with them, be a part of that letter. Sue?
I read through it, and it seemed to me like the points that they were making were pretty valid, and I would be willing to support it.
I would as Brian. Well.
Okay. I don't know. Barbara's here. Did you want to add us? How do you want to handle that, Barbara, as far as the letters concerned?
I'm going to add an R to Comerford.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah, when I first read it, I thought it was the Arborvitae program, and I thought, what?
So other than the misspelling of our senator's name, I think it's in final form, with the exception of, and you can contribute your thoughts to this, whether these should be two separate letters, one to Senator Comerford and one to Representative Mark, or one, the same letter sent to both of them. So we could modify the heading depending upon how we handle that. And then we would all sign it and have you all sign it. And I don't know if you have a special seal or something, although I think this will be sent electronically. It would be good if you're signing on, if it went out on Town of Heath stationery or, you know, Thomas, electronic.
Yeah. Thomas waving her hand. So she must have something she wants to tell us about how we're going to do this.
Good.
Yeah, I can put it on letterhead. But if it's supposed to go to our senator and our representative, Comerford is not our senator.
Yes, we're aware of that. We could, that was the next thing I was going to bring up, is that we could also send it to Adam Hines, who is our senator, right?
I think that would be a good idea.
But it's important that we send it to Joe Comerford, because she is the person who has been spearheading demanding these changes. She's really been the one doing the work and rallying the troops, and we need to let her know that we are behind her in those efforts. But we can also send it to Adam Hines too. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
very good.
What do you think? How should we do it? Should we do it as three separate letters to the three separate senator and reps, or one letter to all three on town letterhead? And then we'll electronically send it to their three offices. Yeah,
that's fine.
All right. So I, Hilma, this has already gone through Board of Health and been approved. I will send you a clean copy with correct spelling, and we'll add Adam Hines. And then, will you do the rest? Is that acceptable in terms of putting it on the letterhead and getting it out to them electronically? Or do you want to bounce it back to me for that?
Well, no, I don't mind sending it out. Do you have Comerford's email address? although it's probably pretty straightforward.
I will get it for you.
Okay. And usually the way things like this are done is it's addressed to the letter is addressed to the primary person, and then you CC it to the other ones, unless they're on included on a committee of some sort. You know what I'm saying? Like if Comerford is the advocate, and it's a matter of we want our own senator and representative to realize what we are advocating for, they get CC'd in, they get copied in, but the letter is just addressed to Comerford.
That sounds appropriate. And that was the recommendation of our Pioneer Valley Mosquito Control District, mm-hmm. That we be sure to get a letter to her. So that sounds mm-hmm. like she should be the primary.
Okay.
So I'll just address it to her. And then does the CC go at the bottom after our signature or?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Sounds good. Thank you, Barbara. Thanks, Hilma.
Mm-hmm.
The next items in part one mail we've reviewed. That was the capital debt figures, the position on the capital bond plan. The next item is from Arctic Refrigeration, an estimate to replace the compressor in the cooler, at Jacobs Road for a total of $850. Is that are we being asked for approval on that tonight?
Yes, and the big thing about that, or part of it, is that it was already slightly at a disadvantage. Like they've rented the kitchen out to a caterer, and who really could have used the cooler space. And I believe there's more coming down the road, more okay. rentals.
And the money is coming from
the, what is it called? School Building Use Revolving Fund.
Yep. Okay. So we'll vote on that. Could I have a motion?
I move that we approve the $850 to replace the compressor in our reach-in cooler, and the money should come from the revolving account for the school.
I'll second that.
Further discussion? All in favor?
Sue, aye.
Brian, aye.
Robin, aye. Okay, so the next two items were, I mentioned briefly before, these are the letters requesting the reopening of the Sawyer Hall bathrooms to the public, and a concern and question or request to look at the possibility of the post office hours and the library hours overlapping. I gotta open those up for discussions. Sue?
I guess I'd like to know how the people who are using the employees who are using the building feel about that at this point. And I'd also like to hear if Barbara has any recommendations from the Board of Health on the use of those bathrooms. And the COVID thing goes up and down so much, it's hard to know.
Okay. So I'll just go across the select board and then ask Barbara to chime in. Brian, your thoughts? Anything?
I guess this would require us changing our policy on all them. It's like we're adopting a different regulation going forward.
Okay.
Because this flies in the face of what we have done
right.
to this point. And maybe right. it's a legitimate time to reconsider. I don't know what would the change be based on.
My my gut feeling right now was when I read the bathroom one was that I'm still a little hesitant about opening spaces that employees are using right now to the public. I think we still need to try to work to protect the employees to the best we can. And you know, Charlene's there, the post office people that are working there. There are still people on the second floor. So that was just kind of my feeling. And I agree and have those same questions, Brian. And the post office, so that's my feeling on the bathroom piece and the overlapping hours between the post office and the library. I guess I need a little bit more information on that. I'd be asking the library for input on that, I think. Helma?
Okay. On the first piece, the bathrooms, let's say the employees that occupy Sawyer Hall the most are not comfortable with it. Just not for unrestricted use. And there's always been like the occasional exception, you know, if there's urgent need or whatever, an exception is one thing. Just general public use, they're uncomfortable with it. I spoke with the chairman of the library trustees yesterday morning. She said that the trustees had talked about this. They had a meeting Saturday and this was on their agenda about changing the hours. And they don't feel it's their ultimate decision. However, they weren't terribly comfortable with the idea. And the chairman talked about, well, if that was done so that the hours overlapped, that they would probably go back to window service, because there would once again be the issue of congestion of people, you know, passing in the hallway and the little mailbox space. But, you know, they said if the select board decided that that's what they wanted to do, then they would, again, they would probably revert to window use, window service.
Okay. Barbara.
I guess I need a little clarification. So you're talking about the question of reopening the bathroom on the first floor of Sawyer Hall for public use. Is that the
question? That's the request that has come forth from a member of the town.
And Hilma, you might not be able to answer this question, but is the concern of the employees who are using that building and using that bathroom, are they concerned about just increased traffic of the public deeper into the building, or are they concerned about sharing a bathroom with more people? I mean, not at the same time, but the bathroom being used more, because the bathroom per se shouldn't be any higher risk for transmission than any other part of the building if there's only one person in there at a time, unless there's a terrible problem with, I don't know what the issue is with ventilation or air circulation.
There is no ventilation.
And there's no window to the outside.
Well, there's a window to the outside. So, I mean,
not a great option in the winter time.
It's not a great option in the winter time. And I don't know. I guess the idea is that if someone is contagious, carrying something, it's like there's a lot of human contact in a bathroom that there isn't in the hallway or in the post office.
I mean, at this point in the research, the transmission of COVID is pretty much strictly airborne. I mean, good hygiene is important for all disease transmission, but in general, the concern is airborne or contact and then rubbing your eyes or putting your mucous membranes. I can legitimize a concern about someone who is infected with COVID going into a small airless bathroom, removing their mask, spending some time in there, and then leaving the room, and then someone else coming in and being exposed to air that has aerosol in it from an infected person. But the act of sharing a sink or sharing a toilet, you know, the contact issue has been pretty much removed from the table of deep concern. But if it's an airless room without good ventilation, I think it's a legitimate concern for employees.
And I think we can't really do this piecemeal. We really have to review and say it's time to step this down a notch.
Right.
A lot of places, businesses have still their, you know, mask signs posted, although I see a lot of people aren't abiding by those requirements, and they're not being kicked out either, but they still have the signs up.
Well, and I think that, hold on one second, Barbara. If we know that there's an issue even, well, we know there's, like you said, Brian, in every location, every locale, there are people who are not wearing masks. We can't expect Charlene to be policing the people that would be coming in just to use the bathroom. You know, that's a challenging position she's got a challenging position as it is anyways, but then to add one more step that people are getting that much further into the building. I don't think it's time for that. My personal feeling is, I don't think we can agree to this right now.
You know,
but
this has been a terrible inconvenience from day one, you know, and we're going to be inconvenienced along the way until we're free and clear, you know, so. You know, there may be a point where we can say we're gonna relax a certain number of the restrictions for everything in town. But I don't think, you know, I mean, so far these arguments, I don't think are a legitimate reason to change.
Change, right. Go ahead, Barbara,
So I agree with you, Brian, completely. And to your point, I'll let you know unofficially at this point that the Board of Health is working on the idea of inviting all of you along with some other major stakeholders from town to participate in a meeting to discuss next steps in COVID and how to keep our town safe and what measures are important and when we should be considering, you know, what we should be using as criteria for making decisions on changing our regulations and use of buildings and trying to open a dialogue, if not to make decisions, but to at least be getting onto the same page and sharing information, factual information, as well as ideas, opinions, and concerns, in the hope that we can move forward together as a well-informed community in making these decisions on when to change what the rules are for use of buildings, and that the Board of Health and the Select Board can do that together and be consistent in the hopes of having the best cooperation from our residents and therefore the best preservation of health and safety. So that's something that we're working on, and we're working on gathering some health agents and specialists that would participate with us and act as resources. Is that something that you would be interested in either joining us as a group with or appointing an individual to represent the Select Board to have a summit to begin discussing these issues? Because sooner or later, we've got decisions to make. There's communities surrounding us that are all dropping their mask mandates and our residents are going to start rattling the cage, and it would be good if we were really prepared and thoughtful about it.
I think I agree with that, because I'm not keeping up on a daily basis with what the status of COVID is in Commonwealth or in our area. So having input from people who are doing that would be good, because certainly it's incumbent upon us to make the rule changes if you need to do it informed.
Right. And I mean, I think in terms of health issues, Board of Health has the ultimate authority to, you know, make mandates or whatever. The Select Board certainly can choose to impose stricter ones. That's within your purview. But it would be great if we could be consistent together and operating with the best information.
I can't argue with that.
Yeah. So after hearing all of those things, it seems really clear to me that we are not ready to change our current arrangement. I mean, you know, the answer to our questions is pretty clear. It's just not
right.
And knowing that we've had some activity in town, I think should make us be even more conservative in approaching this, since we've had a pretty significant number of people who have been impacted recently. I think it's important to keep that in mind too.
Right.
So I at this point, I'm not comfortable with moving forward on either one of these requests.
We should send a note out though, Helma, you know, respond to those emails, please. And just let it be known that we've had the discussion. We are going to continue having upcoming discussions. I guess at this point we can say between the Select Board and with the assistance of the Board of Health and involving the Board of Health, and as to how we move forward, we can kind of, and then we'll have to bring it back up again at some point, but it's not going to happen, which we kind of all assumed.
Mm-hmm.
The last items on part one mail is, so we have the Historical Society site markers. I think the only question I had is, did Jeff review this for any type of placement issue close to the road?
I don't believe he has. I can certainly send it to him, and I'm sure, I mean, Ned's on the call, on the meeting, so I'm sure, like, Jeff and Ned could touch base. And I know at least the one for the Hitchcock Mill has already been, like, staked out. So, and probably the other one has as well. I'm not sure, but I would think so.
How close is the one for the mill to the bridge that needs repair?
Pretty close.
Because I would recommend they not spend any money on it until we know what's going to happen with the repair on the bridge.
Ned?
Sue is certainly right that the chosen spot could be within the work area for that bridge that does need some work. It's a movable sign. If it becomes clear that it really is either in the way or threatened by the work, we can move the sign. Easier done when the ground isn't frozen. And I would gladly contact Jeff to get his input.
That's really the only issue I had, but Brian?
I agree with that. We're concerned.
Yeah. Do you need anything else from us, Ned?
I don't, no.
Okay, all right. And then last part was Claire's October town nurse report for your review. Anything else on part one, Sue?
Nope.
Brian?
No.
Okay. Part two was the VHB agreement. We've already voted on that. So part two is all set. Part three is pending possible executive session. So that's not for discussion for tonight. And part four is the good news that free cash. What? What? The good news.
The good news.
Free cash. Free cash. I wish that was in my life. Free cash. $221,492. Yay.
Yeah.
Smile. So that's just for your info. And then the next part of part four, we have the letter from the highway superintendent in response to a concern about standing water on Flag Hill Road. And I would like to talk with Jeff about that. Just do a little follow-up if that's okay. And I don't know if anybody else has any comments. Sue?
I'm glad that you're going to talk to him about it a little bit. I'm a little uncomfortable with his last line.
Yeah,
just the wording of it. Not the concept of it, but the wording of it.
Yeah. No, I'm gonna talk to him about a couple items on there.
Yeah.
So he'll probably have to, he'll make a couple changes and then it'll get sent back out for everybody to take a look at, I'm sure. Brian?
Is this a draft?
I had asked him to send kind of a draft to us prior, pretty much. Okay. That request came from me in my conversation.
Okay, good.
Yeah. And then the last part of part four was the propane tanks, which we've already talked about. Anything else in email or mail? Sue?
Nope.
Brian? Hilma?
Nope. All set.
Town coordinator report. Is there anything in there that we haven't already discussed?
There are other business. I keep meaning to bring this up, but we've been talking about Five Ledge Road and figuring out a way that the Historical Society could possibly erect a storage building there.
Mm-hmm.
It's complicated. Disposition of municipal property is, you know, has to go through town meeting and has to be put out as a RFP, or else you have to have some kind of a lease agreement.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't want to lose track of that, because I know it's something we probably wouldn't really be able to fully address before the next. I would like to know, you know, I think we need some legal advice on how we could do this, that we could sort of structure an RFP that would favor a nonprofit use like that, you know, that was related to town activities, so that it would be more likely either through sale or lease to end up in the hands of the Historical Society rather than well, I won't say red end, but it's a tough issue to figure out how to do. But I don't want to lose track of it because I think they have some money set aside. And if they were able to get this resolved, I think more money might follow that because they were looking at the community foundation for a grant that would at least match what they have.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like a worthy project because I think a lot of the town historical artifacts they're not being well taken care of because they're not in climate controlled spaces. So especially paper thing, paper is very vulnerable to humidity. Mm-hmm. Issues. Anyway, I could talk to Hilma, if you agree with that, proceeding with this, I could talk to Hilma about getting some guidance.
I'm fine with that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. Thank you. Anything else before Hilma? Hilma, anything on here that we haven't already talked about?
Let's see, generator. Oh, yes, one Maya. Thing. No, two things, actually. Maya Safety Grant, which they offer every year. And Jan Amin was really pushing all the towns in the Solid Waste District to put in an application to cover the cost of all the new equipment and supplies that OSHA is requiring transfer stations to have on hand, which I think that the total estimate is $630 or something like that. So in looking at the whole application and what could be included and they have also Maya has this equipment list for certain kinds of equipment. And so I approached Jeff and kind of said, hey, is there anything you want or need? And he said, yes, they could really use new helmets, chaps for tree cutting, chainsaw work. Also, there's Bluetooth communication sets, which the town has never had. He said, if they're out working, cutting trees or whatever, he said, we basically have to resort to hand signals and make sure we've got the other guy's attention, which isn't real safe necessarily. So anyway, I put in the grant application for an amount that would cover four sets of that equipment for the highway. And the total amount requested was $2,875.96. So, we'll see if we get it, but it would be great if we did. And then the other thing was I made the last few little changes to the office assistant job description. I posted that ad on the website, and I also posted a paper copy at Sawyer Hall.
So I have just a couple things too. And that was one of them actually. Where did we stand with the office assistant? So great for that one. The Parks and Rec was my other one that Sue already brought up. So that great on that one. And the other is, Helma, I don't know that we have had an official statement. Maybe we did. And because I don't remember. There's so much going on. Have we officially put it in the record, the grant that we received, that the town of Heath received for the 8A work? It was in our mail, but we weren't allowed to talk about it for a period of time because it hadn't been publicly announced, but now it's been announced because it was in the paper.
Correct. No, it's not. It has not been officially in our minutes because it was in the mail prior to publication or prior to the announcement.
Right. And I don't have the number off the top of my head, but it's
735,000.
Grant that was received. Yes. Amazing. Yes. For work that's going to be on 8A. There's a handful of work that's getting done that Jeff's working on. Yeah.
Yep. And even though it's not us, but the town of he sent a letter of support for the grant that Charlemont received. They put in an application to straighten the nasty curve on 8A. I know it is Shermanville, the broken down houses with the sharp curve. And they received a grant to do that work, which was like $710,000.
That's really good news. Yeah. Which leads me to a comment that I just want to make, because I think that this might go overlooked at times, but the town of Heath, there's a handful of people in the town of Heath that have been doing a large amount of grant work, application work. And we have received quite a few of these grants. And Helma's been really taking a lot of charge on that and filling out a lot of these grants, helping each individual department who's seeking them. And I think it's important for us to say thanks, Helma, because it is a lot of money. I forget how, because it's like every month or something, we're getting a grant. Some of them are small. Some of them are $730,000. That's a lot of money. So I think that we just need to kind of promote that a little bit, because it is important. This is money. It might not be work that we each see is a necessity at any given time, but it is work that at some point would be something that the taxpayers would be paying for that right now these grants are covering. So we have been lucky. I'm not saying we get them all, but we have gotten a lot. There's a lot of work being put into these grants by all sorts of boards and committees. And I, even for myself at some point, I'd like to see, I don't know if we keep a running tally each year or something so that we can just kind of take a look at that. I think it's important. So that's it. Thank you. Yeah.
Which grant did the engineering for the culvert, Avery Brook Road, which one did that come out of? Which grant was the 100,000?
What program did that come out of? That was environment. That one was like under like environmental mitigation, something or other. That was more under environmental, and it's like preventative work.
Yeah, I remember that. I went two or three years ago, I went down to Springfield and that whole thing started to meet with some of the state people and some of the local officials. So, but if we're going to talk about it, it'd be nice to have a name to us, you know.
Well, yeah, that's my whole little list. Yeah, if we could get a list, I think it's good. And I think we need to, remind ourselves and remind others about it. It's important. And we've been going kind of outside of the box on a couple of these, and they're paying off.
Yeah, there's the grant that that Nick and John got for the generator and transfer switch and the radio, the tower.
Yeah. And we talk about them, but we really don't. So I just wanted to put that out there and say thank you. So I think that was it for me tonight for this portion of the open meeting, unless there's something else. Sue?
No, I think we got it all.
Actually, wait a minute. We will. Let's schedule our meetings. We'll do that in open session because we're not going to come back to open session. So next week's meeting is the 16th, right?
Yes.
And at that meeting, we have
Council on Aging,
mm-hmm. hopefully Axon Properties, right?
Yes.
Host community. We always keep COVID. We took care. Let's keep the firehouse. I'll try to do better on that. And we'll have green communities. Shall we put on, do we want to reach out to Parks and Rec before we put them on the schedule, on our schedule for us to discuss? Do we want to reach out to Parks and Rec and ask them for some feedback on what they see their job is at this point in time there, so that we have that info before we sit down and talk as a group?
I can do that. Okay. I can scan what Sue found the other day and email that to them, the original description.
Yeah.
I'd already touched base with Kate, so she's aware that it's
okay. And then maybe ask them when they, because I don't think they're meeting every month. So when they think they'd be able to do that, and then we can schedule them after that, schedule our conversation.
That was another item for the grants too, that Mike.
Yeah.
Mike could share a lot of work to get.
Yeah.
A couple of trail grants and.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I just hiked that trail this weekend and it's pretty fabulous.
Cool. That's great.
Although we did get lost in the end of it, but.
Obviously, you found your way out.
They ran out of science. The next one.
Mm-hmm. Do we need to put the 8A bridge on there again?
Yeah.
And is it possible we'll need to do anything with, will we be ready to do anything with Jonathan's agreement?
Yes.
Yes.
Possibly.
Mm-hmm. And the rest we can fill in as we find out. All right. Anything else for open meeting? Helma?
No, I don't believe so.
Sue?
No, just that the Council on Aging, Victoria, would appreciate it if you could give her an early appointment because she has to work that evening.
So 6:15?
Yeah.
Okay.
If possible.
Yeah, sure.
Anything else, Brian?
I don't have anything further.
Okay. So then the next item is I am I'm seeking the motion for the select board to go into executive session pursuant to general law 30A section 21A6 to consider the purchase, exchange, lease, or value of real property. As the chair, I am declaring that the open meeting will have a detrimental effect on the negotiation position of the public body of Heath. And this is for the deliberation and strategy for entering into a long-term lease of space at 18 Jacobs Road Municipal Building with Hilltown Youth Recovery Theater. And we will not, this motion will include that we will not enter into open meeting after executive. That's the motion I'm looking
for. So move.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor, roll call vote, please.
Sue Lively, aye.
Brian DeVries, aye.
Robin Provost Carlson, aye. Okay, folks, we're going into executive. Thank you for coming tonight. Thanks for everything. Thanks, Barbara, Pat, Gloria.